Buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the leader of the macabre, Rich Stambolian.
I'm the original spooky boy.
You are a spooky boy. What's going on, Rich?
Spookies boy.
I had no voice.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
I'm still recovering from our weekend, all the fun we had, all the people we met. All the bodies we buried in that long strip of highway. We murdered a lot of people. Guys.
Yeah.
You know, we were hanging out at Chili's 1 minute, but then the next minute, Andrew and I were concocting murders.
Yeah, we were like Dexter.
Yeah. But fun weekend. I'm pretty shot. You're pretty shot. My back's a mess. Your voice is a mess.
Yeah. So I, you know, this is something that started like 5 years ago with me. Yeah. I tend to lose my voice all the time now. And it's like I'm suffering pushing through with this right now. But whatever, we'll figure it out, and you guys will have to tolerate that my voice is a little blown out. But, guys, what a fun weekend we had. This was the last of our trips for a little bit, I think, for now. We, you know, I think we started off with SummerSlam. Actually, I went away, right? I went to Jamaica. I came back. We went to SummerSlam. We came back. We had, like, a bunch of stuff going on, obviously, in my life and Rich's life, and then we flew to Chicago. Our spouses came, which was really awesome.
That's funny.
That Vicky was there and Jess was there. I have to tell you, I think Jess is a wrestling fan now.
Something
clicked.
Yeah.
Something clicked. And we're going to talk about it, because I think this is all a lot of interesting stuff to talk about, but also we have a ton of freaking news.
Oh, my God. So
to get
news.
To. I had a very interesting phone call yesterday. A lot of stuff to go down and talk about. Obviously, the Triple H story. Not a great thing to talk about, but we're going to break that down because I have a little bit of information on that. Obviously, Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, I should say, and everybody else, Ruby Riott, everybody else that showed up there.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons of news. But guys, do us a favor. Hit the Super Chat button. Fund us there. Also, our Patreon has been, we've been adding more content to the Patreon. That's our goal right now.
Yes.
We're going to add a whole lot more. Patreon.com/MattManPodcast. And of course, if you're here on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We're almost at 6,000 subscribers. Miraculously, possibly, we could hit 10,000 by the end of the year. That would be freaking phenomenal, considering we had to restart this page about 5 years ago when we lost tens of thousands of subscribers.
Yeah.
So it was a whole issue, but we're here. We're psyched, and let's get started. We ended the show last week with some really sad news. Daphne passed away. I think it was Wednesday night it started happening. You got the rumblings, and then Thursday, I guess by the time we ended the show, we found out that she had passed her life, passed on. She took her life, unfortunately. And she really wanted her brain to go to that study in Boston. So I got to tell you, terribly sad. You know, I have a lot of mutual friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
Josh and her were good friends at one point.
That's
so, yeah, really, really, really sad stuff. But I did want to kind of touch on that a little bit more. I think we all know the whole story there. I don't want to dwell on it more. Yeah. And some more terrible news. So, I tweeted out like the prayer hands yesterday, and actually Sean did it also. We both were told of this terrible story that Triple H had a cardiac event.
Oh, boy.
That required surgery. He got out of surgery. He's going to make a full freaking recovery. You know, obviously, scary stuff, right?
Yeah.
I spoke to someone at WWE right before, and they said this was genetics. You know, it was a genetic thing. It wasn't anything specific. It's just, you know, genetics are genetics. I got a really bad weak back. Everybody in my family has terrible backs. It's all genetic. And, you know, our thoughts are with him and the whole family and everybody at WWE, because this is, you know, you don't like hearing that kind of stuff, obviously.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I wish the guy a speedy recovery. With medical science now, you know, like, you're in and out in like a day after one of these things.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Do you want to, I was going to ask you something, Rich.
Yeah.
I think, I want you to jump into All Out. I don't want to continue the stories because there's so much news here that I don't want to. I think the All Out story is going to feed into a lot of this.
Absolutely. Let's acknowledge these super chats. Elite Podcast, $5. Love the show as always. Keep it up. Kyle here and Arthur Ashe isn't looking good for me travel-wise out of Canada, but I'm still trying.
We met Kyle.
Love you both. Love you too.
Yeah, man.
Bob Rowe, $10 donation towards marital counseling at St. Sarkis Armenian Church. There you go.
Can you imagine? They would kick us out, right? If you and I were holding hands and we went in there and I just started speaking Armenian to them and said that I need counseling?
We held hands a lot this weekend.
We kissed. We held hands.
We got a hell scorpion. I don't know what that symbol means, but it's 100. 100 of whatever that is. My question, do you see that?
Yeah, what? What country of origin is that? Is that currency
I think
from?
That's from Halo.
It's from Halo, okay.
My question is status on Kevin and Sammy, WWE contract. Status on Wyatt, Strowman, and Murphy. Are they Impact or AEW? Which WWE stars are expiring?
You know what? That's a fantastic question. I'm going to drop that in the super chat to answer because I have to break down a lot of that.
Yeah. Mr. Gonzo or Jonathan, can you copy that into the chat at the end?
Also, $10 from Charles.
Charles LePage. Hello, Mattman. Who do you think will be the first AEW wrestler to leave? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I have a lot on that.
Throw that into the super chat.
Great question.
Jacob Donnelly with Brian Danielson gunning straight for Omega. Do you guys worry about Hangman? We're going to talk about that, Jacob.
Yeah.
We're going to throw that into the super. John Gorman, $5. All that was so much fun. It has gotten me so excited. What impact will this show have on the landscape of wrestling? We're going to talk about that in 2 minutes.
By the way, those were Indian rupees. 100 rupees, my friend.
Cool.
Yeah.
Joel Wood, have you heard news on whether Pete Dunne signed an extension?
Fantastic.
We're
going
to go into that. Just Mr. Gonzo or Jonathan, please take these, throw them into our folder in the super chat section, and we will talk about them as soon as we do questions. But a lot of these questions are going to be answered. How did you think All Out went this weekend?
By the way, we did meet Kyle in my dreams.
In your dreams.
I did meet a Kyle that does a All Elite podcast.
We do know a Kyle also.
We do know a Kyle also. All right, let's go into this, Rich.
So All Out was this weekend. As Andrew mentioned before, we both traveled to Chicago. We had Mr. Gonzo MG Geek there with us. We had Suncast there with us. We had Treehouse Vince there with us.
First time I saw Suncast in 7 or 8 years.
Since PodCon, right? Or what? Blog World?
Blog World and New Media Expo, yeah.
Okay. The High Spots guys saved our asses.
Dude, we got to talk about that too.
So in a nutshell, we got there on Friday, immediately started wiling out at the Chili's by Andrew's hotel.
So this is the best, right? So everybody's like, why the F did you guys go to a Chili's when you're in Chicago? Huffman Estates is the burbs.
Hoffman Estates.
Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Hoffman. It's the suburbs. And obviously there was a bunch of, like, we went to that brunch place. That was fantastic. The pancake spot. That was awesome. But generally, you want a quick bite and you want to go to a bar, there's a Chili's next door. So we go in and it's us, like our whole crew. And like, we had a bunch of people show up. All the F4W guys came in. All the Observer guys were there. Yeah. And it's Dave and Sean Ross Sapp tweeted, Andrew Zarian, Sean Ross Sapp, Dave Meltzer walk into a Chili's. And MJF retweeted it. Responded and goes, everybody walked out.
It was a lot of podcasting.
Yeah.
It was like all the dudes from F4W were there. Big shout out to Tony also for saving our asses and being like an incredible dude. Like, we all got stuck by the Now Arena.
Okay, I'm gonna give a little piece of advice. Do not Uber to that building because there is no way back. And unfortunately, other than staying at that Marriott that's walkable.
Right.
It is a 2-hour walk. It's a 7-minute drive and a 2-hour walk because you got to go around the highway.
Yeah. That was a nice Marriott, by the way.
It was, yeah.
Tim Anger, $20. Can you see Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish going to AEW? We're going to talk about that. Yes, I do, but I don't at the same time.
All right. So we start off, we're at Chili's, we're all hanging out. And
immediately start drinking.
I get a message while we're there. From somebody over on the Turner side. All three are happening, guaranteed. Okay?
Right.
So, here's the difficulty here, right? Like, now, like, I got to piece this together. I got to figure it out. And then I'm going to get to how I pieced it together. Mm-hmm. But we did the live show on Saturday from our room, which was crazy.
That's
you know, like, everybody's in the room. We did the show. We did a phenomenal We're Live Pal with Garrett and Denise, Dave and Brian and myself. Again, big shout out to Tony. That's going to be the theme of this show because he rescued us.
Yeah, he had those extra cables.
He rescued us with the extra XLR cables. You know, we did. I thought it was a lot of fun, man. That show was a lot of fun. And then we did a Mattman afterwards with Garrett, which was really awesome too. Garrett Gonzalez, I mean, fantastic dude. We had the Observer meet and greet on Sunday morning. That was a lot of fun. We went to brunch. We ducked out a little early. We went to brunch. And the entire AEW locker room decided that they were going to get brunch there.
Exactly. It was kind of fun because I was like, I wanted to see the live show with Brian and Dave. And then, but then I became the de facto wife wrangler. So I was like, do you guys want to just go to brunch? And both the wives are very excited at that prospect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah, we want to go to brunch.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Right. And
so we went to brunch. You met, you and MG met us after and Suncast. And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, Darby Allin, Hobbs.
Ortiz? Was it Ortiz or Santana?
No, it was Ortiz.
Okay.
Ortiz, Isaiah Kennedy, and Wardlow.
Yeah.
Not sitting together, but they were in the area. So it was pretty interesting.
Cassidy,
sorry. And then what was interesting about that spot is Hoffman Estates is not in the middle of nowhere, but it might as well be.
So yeah.
This brunch place was a good like 3 miles down the road.
Yeah.
You know, from anywhere. And it's, and that kind of goes to show you like these guys were all staying at that Marriott and they were probably like, yo, we got to get out of here. And
we got to eat something good. Yeah. Which was, you know, it was a lot of fun. So we got to the building.
Mm.
I got to tell you, man, great experience. The building's pretty cool. It's a nice building. The fans, everybody was really looking to have a great time.
So sweet,
our seats
yeah.
were fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Overall, you know, when the crowd that you're with, you're going to have a great freaking time. And, man, you know what? It was a stellar show. The crew that we were with was great. I got so stoned by the end of that show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I took some crazy edibles. And I was just, but, like, in a good way. I was just chilling. I was having a great time. I was just enjoying myself.
Yeah.
My wife came, and it's interesting, and your wife was there, too, and they're not big wrestling fans, obviously, and Jess was like, made a 180. She's like, this is cool. This is like going to a concert. I'm like, that's the whole point, you know, and she had an awesome time, but it was a really good show. I don't want to sum the entire show. I don't want to run down the entire show, but there was a moment that I was freaking sweating. So at one point, I decided I was going to take the risk, and I was going to tease that Adam Cole's showing up, right? I'll break this down for everybody now because I want to be careful on the exact words that I use because I know that people are probably going to pick this up. About a week and a half ago on a Friday, so it would be 2 weeks from this coming Friday, right? From tomorrow. I got a message saying, hey, I, you know, pretty much Ruby Riott's confirmed. Daniel Bryan is confirmed, and Adam Cole will be there. Adam Cole signed, but he's going to sign. Mm-hmm. It's going to be then, but he's there. He's part of AEW. So I'm like, okay, you feel comfortable me saying it? He's like, don't say it, like, because I, you know, like, he's like, say it however you want, but he's like, I wouldn't be blatant about it. So I wasn't blatant about it, so I teased a sunrise in Panama.
Okay.
I put a picture up and I said, what of you? I can't get anybody else to confirm this. Like, nobody. Right, and I reached out to a lot of people, like, especially like other people that cover pro wrestling to reach out. So Dave ambushed me. He's like, he pulled me. He's like, what do you know? I was like, I will tell you that he's coming. He's like, I can't get anyone to, you know, like, honestly, nobody was talking about it. And obviously they shouldn't be, right? We couldn't get it. So I'm like, I took the risk. I'm going to put it out. I haven't been wrong. And I don't want to be wrong. That's why I'm pretty careful about these things. Like, sometimes I sit on things a little too much.
Okay.
Like the Daniel Bryan stuff, I sat on that because I didn't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
Same thing with CM Punk. The event's ending. There's no Adam Cole. And now I'm like, oh, shit. I was wrong. My guy was wrong. And he texted me. He's like, he's there, but he's not. He may not come out. I'm like, fuck, you know? And literally 5 minutes later, Adam Cole comes out and it's this big ovation and everything worked out. But this was pretty much done 2 weeks ago.
Got you sweating a little bit.
Got me sweating a little bit. This was done 2 weeks ago. It wasn't, I think a lot of people are under the impression that it happened like that weekend. Like Adam Cole decided that this was happening. That's not the case. The agreement was probably signed that weekend, right? Everything was finalized then, but 2 weeks ago, I knew that this was happening. And I think we mentioned it. I teased it a bunch of times on the show.
We did tease it a bunch.
Yeah.
When you got cornered by Dave, when he was like, what do you know?
Yeah.
Did you notice that he had a fully extended box cutter in his
hand? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pointed at your belly button?
Yeah, yeah. You better be right with the answer.
Ready. He was ready. Yeah. We got That Bean, $10. Cheers to my favorite guys from Queens. Thank you, That Bean.
Thank you, thank you.
Cactus J, 22. My friend, $10. My friend doesn't understand why everyone thinks Kenny Omega's a great wrestler. What would be your argument why he's great, and what matches of Kenny would you suggest he watch? I'm going to answer this one real
quick. Go ahead.
This dude has gotten several world champions from different companies, world championships from different companies around his waist in the past year. Watch all those matches. Watch all his New Japan stuff. Watch his Okada series. Watch all the stuff he's done with Ibushi and that last G1 he did a couple of years ago. And I think your buddy will change his tune. Joel Wood, $9.99. This is... with the report that WWE was going to let Daniel Bryan work in New Japan, do you think this might open the door to WWE? We're going to get into this,
yeah,
Joel.
That's a big story.
This is going to be in the supplementary. We're going to address all these. From JPayin421, $5. We gave a lift to the guy that sat next to Andrew. He said, bro, he was stoned out of his mind.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Just seeing stars.
I'm just seeing stars. Oh. All right, so
you did turn into Enchante a couple of times.
I did a couple of Enchantes. Yeah, so we're not going to break down the matches and stuff, but let's go into the news. What do you think?
Let's go into the news. All right. Yeah, we don't need to break all this stuff down. But it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It was a huge weekend, and we're excited to do it again. At the next Arthur Ashe,
we're going to tomorrow. We're at SmackDown.
We're at SmackDown tomorrow.
We're actually going to something cool right beforehand. We were invited to go. WWE's doing a screening for a 9/11 documentary that they shot. They're doing a screening. I think it's like 50 or so people. So we got an invite. We're local in New York. We've discussed 9/11 numerous times on the show and how it's affected us, and you know, 20 years ago. I mean, it is one of those things that it doesn't feel like 20 years ago because we lived it.
Nuts, yeah.
It's still bonkers to me. Mm. Like the whole experience was insane. So they're doing that right before, and then we're going to be at SmackDown tomorrow. So that's going to be fun. We're followed by Arthur Ashe on the 22nd. Then we're going to, I believe, AEW at the UBS Arena. Tickets are on sale right now, pre-sale. I think you could use AEW516 as the pre-sale code to purchase your tickets. All right. So, go ahead, Rich.
Let's go back to that Adam Cole stuff, man. So, apparently, the plan was in place for him to be a heel manager for Keith Lee. And not wrestle anymore.
Okay. So this is the report from Dave.
Right.
I didn't hear it in the way that it was said.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that they wanted to turn Keith Lee heel. And they had intentions of Adam Cole being in some sort of managerial role. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that he's not wrestling. It's almost like how John Morrison kind of is like a manager to The Miz.
Sure.
Like for a little bit, like in the, you know, like he plays that role. It would be like that. I heard the Leo Rush example.
Okay.
Comparison. That might be a close comparison also, but that is an idea that was floating around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were going to execute that because I think that's effing absurd. Keith Lee is like the biggest baby face on the freaking planet. That man, you look at his face and he's a sweet man.
He is a sweet, you know? He's a sweet man.
Like, so you're taking a guy that's like, just looking at him, a baby face.
Yeah.
And you want to turn him heel, and you're taking Adam Cole, a great talker, great heel, and you're going to make him number two as like a hype man for him? A heel manager?
Listen,
by the way, Adam Cole is 32, right?
Right. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. You know, this whole, like, we can spend hours breaking down the WWE stuff as far as, like, their weirdo bonkers decisions, which have nothing to do with wrestling. You know, like, it doesn't have anything to do with pro wrestling at all.
It does.
Just, it's money, it's fitting, it's a whole different animal than what we're seeing with AEW.
But let me ask you this.
Sure.
You are familiar with Adam Cole because you've watched his career. I try to think like them sometimes. Like, I try to figure, because I have a good idea of how they think over there, right? Based on all my friends. I got to tell you, I don't think they see this as like a punishment or like he doesn't deserve it. I think they see this as a very creative way to introduce a new character to their television show. They're not bringing up wrestlers. They're bringing up characters and they're putting them into stories. Mm-hmm. So they're coming up with a story for a guy. You are a body.
Right.
That is a fulfillment. Do you see it that way?
Yes and no. I see it two ways, especially with the Adam Cole thing, right? I think in that original two-hour iteration of NXT on Wednesday nights, if that momentum held, I don't think he would have left the company, right? Because that's when NXT was still like quote-unquote like cool, and it was like the alternative wrestling product. And it morphed into something like, I don't want to say barely recognizable, but the NXT now is hugely, vastly different than the stuff that we fell in love with.
Yeah, right? Sure.
The other end of that is it's a very Hollywood approach, you know? I'm going to quote a bit of a Mitch Hedberg joke where, you know, Hollywood is funny. If you're a stand-up comedian, somebody's going to go, well, you do stand-up, but can you write?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that WWE has that mentality of like, well, we know you're like an indie darling and you're a great wrestler, but can you talk and be a manager? You know, like, we don't want you for the skill set that you're known for. We're going to give you something that we created for you. You know, so I agree with you in that regard.
Look, I mean, is this any different from the WWF that we watched as kids? No.
Right.
This is exactly that. Dude, look at it this way, right? Terry Taylor. Terry Taylor was supposed to be the next Flair to many people, right?
Right, right, right.
But yet, Terry Taylor became a freaking rooster. Kurt Hennig was this all-American wrestler from Minnesota, and they made him Mr. Perfect.
That worked, though.
It did work.
Ted DiBiase worked.
But Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man. Mm-hmm. But think about it as if you were a Mid-Atlantic fan,
right,
a Mid-South fan, and you saw Ted DiBiase, and you knew that Ted DiBiase, and now he's dressing up like Daddy Warbucks, you know, like the Monopoly man. You're going to say this is freaking absurd, right?
Yeah.
But you know who didn't say it was absurd? The kids.
Right.
Because this is what they know. They don't know who Ted DiBiase in Mid-South was. Mm-hmm. They don't know Kurt Hennig. Rick Martel, AWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Became a model.
The model.
You know, like a fancy schmancy model with a perfume.
Lex Luger.
Lex Luger, the narcissist. You took Lex Luger, you made him into a narcissist. Everything they do is packaged for characters.
Right.
It went away. I mean, I think the difference here is that they had about 5 to 10 years where they didn't follow that model.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it broke us because now we have a very different expectation. Our generation, we have a very different expectation of wrestling. We want wrestling.
Yeah. But I will say yes and no, because there was, all right, I think the WWE is very smart, right? And I think there was definitely like subterfuge going on with that stuff, because the character shit never went away. Like, look, when we were in the 2000s, we're watching like incredible matches, and then the Boogeyman shows up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have like the Boogeyman, or you have like a Mordecai, or in the Attitude Era, you had the who are the bums? The Godwins.
They weren't bums.
Whatever.
they were slop boys.
You had the Godwins. Like, you had Goldust at one point, right? Yeah. Like, Goldust was like a character, you know?
Yeah.
Stardust, to a certain extent, was like a character.
Everything is a character for them.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is not a defense. This is not an attack. I'm just playing it out there. So when you have a Karrion Kross that's like a black underwear guy, right? And now he's coming to the main roster. I mean, which is hysterical, because a black underwear guy is the guy that got over the most. Like, a bald-headed white dude with a goatee wearing black underwear and knee pads.
And boots. Black
and boots. And black boots. Like, he got over the most out of anybody, which is fascinating. because he loves Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I love me some Goku.
He loves Goku. But he got over, but that's an anomaly to them. To them, it's, well, that he got, that's an anomaly.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something that I find fascinating with the character stuff, right? So you have a group, not a group, you have a tag team, the Ascension.
Yeah. Okay.
The Ascension looked like action figures.
Okay, yes.
They came out with armor, makeup. They look nuts, right?
Everybody, by the way, everybody has to look like an action figure in that company. That is the model. You hit the nail on the head.
But here are two guys who already had that built-in look from NXT.
Yes.
They didn't need extra armor or face paint. They showed up with their shit, right?
Yeah. And what happened?
But then all of a sudden, it's not good enough, and they get, like, spooky fingered out of the
building.
That was
it. That was a moment, because you told the audience, these guys are bums. No matter what they did, no matter what they... Listen, I didn't... Everybody looked at... And by the way, perception is key, right? In NXT, nobody said they were LOD and ripoffs.
They're vampires.
They were vampires. They were Dracules. Originally, that's how they started. They were vampires. They were sexy vampires.
Yeah.
And then they turned into this, thing that the Ascension became. But even in NXT, nobody really, like, yeah, was it? It was still the same gimmick, same guys, essentially. But they come to the main roster. I thought it was gnarly. That promo, the initial when they did that promo.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you know what? I'm into this. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Hits a little nostalgia in the back of your mind. You're like, okay, this is familiar. And they go out there. They debut. JBL talks about what bums they are.
Right.
Here comes Scott Hall. They're doing their whole Ascension thing. And what does he do? Boom, done. Game over.
That's it.
The perception was they're nobodies because they're small, right?
But they also weren't like real small dudes.
They weren't small dudes, but that was the thing. I don't get the attacking of your own developed character.
Right.
To destroy it, because you know what? They were action figures. And by the way, Karrion Kross now is an action figure. That is why they have the helmet. If you're a kid, and this is all that it comes down to, guys. You're a kid. You're in Toys R Us. The Toys R Us doesn't exist. You're at the toy store, whatever, Walmart, Target. You're going down that aisle, and you see these action figures. And there's a guy in black trunks and a goatee. And then there's a guy with this gnarly freaking mask. Yeah. He has these, like, metal spikes on. He has these boots on. You're going to gravitate towards that as a kid. You're going to say, wow, this is crazy. I want that.
Right. And here's another thing. Here's another guy, too, that I feel like had action figure built in to him. Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze, okay.
Tyler Breeze.
But he had a gimmick. He had the fluffy pants. I'm not defending it.
Right.
I'm just saying this is this company. This is it. This is what it is.
It's so bizarre.
I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea.
No, not at all.
On the business end.
No. On the business end, it's the best idea, but I think it's... They need somebody to fill that quota. Like Finn Balor is a great example because
he's an underwear guy.
What do you have? You have 20 versions of the makeup action figure.
Yep.
You have the merch. You have all the Finn Balor stuff. And I think that's a guy who crosses over from like he's over.
Yeah.
He's an underwear guy, but he's also a spooky demon. We can capitalize on this and make a ton of money off of this guy.
Listen, if you want an example of how everybody has to be an action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the girls, right? Look at the women. It's so big. Everything they do, more than the men, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Everything they do with the women is so big.
Huge. It's huge. The women's division in WWE is huge wrestling.
The hair, the outfits, everything is exactly huge wrestling.
Yeah.
That is a great example. Listen, I'm 37 years old, right? My daughter loves Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
Loves Bray Wyatt.
Spooky Alexa.
Okay. They love it. They're into it. Why? And that's the thing that we dislike.
Right.
Because that is what they're appealing to. They don't want to sell two tickets to two 37-year-old dudes.
It's fine.
They want to sell four tickets
to a family.
That's going to buy t-shirts and buy the freaking John Cena armband buy the belts and buy the doll and buy the everything. And you're going to go home and your kids are going to have a freaking blast. You're going to sit in the car. You're going to look at your wife or husband or partner and you're going to say, you know what? This was worth it.
That was a great time.
I just spent $1,000, but this was worth it because the kids are so freaking happy.
We're dressing like John Cena tomorrow, right?
We're going to that thing in John Cena gear.
Like different eras of John Cena, or do you want to be the same John Cena?
No, same John Cena.
Jorts. Get your jorts ready. It is very fascinating when you really think about that stuff, especially like the guys who jump ship, you know.
I see it as something very different now. And I
Yes.
I had like an awakening moment at SummerSlam, and I realized exactly what I'm walking into. And I said, oh, okay, this is different now.
It's the circus.
This is different. Yeah. I'm at the circus. Not an insult at all.
No.
I mean that in a positive way. This is a fun variety hour or five or whatever it is.
This is a very well-produced show.
Dude, they do a fantastic job. I mean, nothing they do is bad except Raw, which, you know, I barely... It's unbelievable how bad it is.
Isn't that fascinating? And I think you hit the nail on the head. They don't do anything bad except when it comes to the pro wrestling part.
Well, SmackDown is fantastic.
Right. SmackDown's great.
And that's great wrestling. And that's great storytelling.
3 hours of Raw that goes nowhere. And again, it's not... I don't think it's being sold to us anymore. That Daniel Bryan speech from AEW after the show. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but after the show went off the air, you probably saw it on YouTube. Daniel Bryan delivered a very interesting speech thanking the WWE and commending them and telling people, hey, I liked working there, but guess what? I'm a wrestler and I want to wrestle where people want to see me wrestle and wrestle, right?
Yeah.
Fascinating little speech to end the show. Because you kind of almost half expect all these guys to be like, F WWE, F this, F that. But this guy was on top for many years, decided it wasn't for him anymore, and now he's somewhere else.
Here's a great question. Outlaw Torn. Andrew, did you not see kids dressed as Darby Orange Thunder Rosa at All Out fan meetups? Yeah, I did. But guess what? I wouldn't take my kid to an AEW show at all.
Really?
I don't want... You know, when they're saying... You know, when there's an FU chant and there's an A-hole, like, I would be more conscious about taking my six-year-old to an AEW show with a lot of the blood and a lot of that. Like, listen, being a responsible parent, like, I don't, maybe when they're 8, 9, 10 years old, that's fine. Yeah. But AEW doesn't cater to children. Yeah, of course there's going to be kids that watch it. There were kids in the Attitude Era that watched it, obviously. But they are catering to us. They're catering towards 18 to 48.
Yeah.
Generally male-driven audience. Obviously, you know what I did notice? AEW has a tremendous amount of female fans.
It was very split.
Yeah. Very split, and it wasn't people being tagged along to shows. It was people that are very much into the product, which was really cool to see how diverse the audience is. But as far as children go, I don't think I don't think AEW is a kid's product. And it shouldn't be. It doesn't have to be.
Right. Exactly.
You'll eventually grow into it. You start off somewhere and you grow into it. That's how I see it.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. You know, I'm not knocking you for taking your kids. You should take your kids. Whatever you want to do. Those are your kids. But I'm not going to take my six-year-old and my five-year-old. I'm going to take them to WWE and introduce them to that first.
Yeah.
So, you know, just at the end of the day, you got to see the difference here, right? But we were on the Adam Cole conversation here, which is crazy that we kind of veered off into this, but... It is a story true. I heard something very similar. It wasn't pieced together the way that it was put together, but I have no reason to doubt that this was not a pitched idea. The Daniel Bryan leaving thing, I want to touch on that. It wasn't in the news, but you know, there's a lot of, he did that interview and he thanked Vince and he said things are great, right? But he even said that they were trying to make it work for him to go to Japan.
Right.
So, it is interesting, the words that he used in that interview, right? There's some stuff I don't want to get into, but his father-in-law is the head of talent relations.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Think of that, right? John Laurinaitis is his father-in-law. John Laurinaitis married Bree's mom.
Right.
And I know that they really did not want him to go.
I'm sure.
They didn't want him to go, but they knew that they had to let him. And you know what? Let him go. This guy's going to be in WWE once. He's going to be the guy that goes back.
You think he's going to do like another 5 years? He's going to come back, do the Hall of Fame
thing? He'll be around. I think he'll be able to. He'll be one of those guys that, because he spent most of his career there, you know? Yeah. You know, he made a lot of money there. He got most of his exposure there. He wants to do something that he can't do over there. That's the reality of it.
Right.
He doesn't want to be a sports entertainer. He wants to be a wrestler. And it's like saying, I want to do theater, but I can't do that when I'm on a sitcom on NBC.
Right.
So you could go do theater again for a couple of years and then come back and join a sitcom again. It's very, you know, I see him doing that. What do you think?
You know, people have been asking us that question quite regularly. Like, who do you see reverse leaving, going from AEW to WWE? And it's too soon to say anything, but, you know, I think in the next 10 years at some point, yeah, sure, you'll get Daniel Bryan.
Right? Yeah.
You'll get Jericho, right? You'll get a couple of these guys who are the WWE vets that go back to that system, get their Hall of Fame ring, and they have their one last big match at WrestleMania or something like that. Who's to say, why not? Rusev, I think, is a guy. Miro, I feel like he's a dude that's going to end up back in WWE sooner than later.
Who, Rusev?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't see that.
You don't see it?
No.
I kind of have like that weird feeling like in the next like 3 years, he's going to go back there.
I mean, they put him in a cuckolding angle.
They did
a lot of cuckolding angles.
Yeah,
you know what it was? It was Heyman. Heyman went on like Pornhub, and he's like, "Let's see, a step sister can't do that." Vince loves that kind of stuff. He's like, "Step sister, allegedly." So let's talk about the Mick Foley video that I could tell you people were very unhappy with.
Oh,
at WWE that he put that video out.
Oh well.
There is. I'm not going to say who told me this, but there's like a like an unwritten rule with these like legends where like it's like an like you can't disparage the company in any way. And that was pretty disparaging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, you guys, he was pretty blatant about saying like, we're not doing good stuff here, guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a guy that left WWE so wrestling could have when he went to TNA. That was the whole thing. Yeah. He wanted wrestling to do well. He wants wrestling to do well. And he was right. WWE, you have a problem.
Yeah.
It's a perception problem.
It's a huge perception problem. It's also, you know, like we've been saying for the last few weeks, it's not a show that's geared toward the 18 to 49 demo anymore.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not, unfortunately. Kevin Owens' contract. What do you think about this, Rich?
So apparently his contract is up sooner than later. I think the initial reports were that it was going to be up in 2023, but apparently Fightful Select reported that it is up on January 31st, 2022,
yeah,
which is only a few months away.
So that would be contract expires, right?
Mm-hmm.
What pay-per-views in, I guess that would be Revolution.
Yeah.
If he goes.
Why not?
You know, he did that joke about Mount Rushmore. Yeah. He changed his location, and then he said soon or whatever, and then Bucks wrote there.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you think he could do? Do you think he's a major get for AEW this point?
Major get. I think he would be a strong get, absolutely. And it's, I think as a fan, me personally, and I think you too, you want to see these guys hang out with their buddies.
Yeah.
Right? You want to see Adam Cole hang out with the Bucks and Kenny. You want to see Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen hang out with the Bucks and Kenny again. You know? We might get some more cool shit. You know?
Yeah.
It seems like Kevin.
I think so.
Kevin Owens, I love the dude. I think he was such a great signing for NXT when it happened. But then, you know, he's a guy that I feel like should have been consistently on top.
Yeah.
And. Well, you know, unfortunately, he wasn't.
I mean, he did get the pull. He did get a title. He did get the title. He did. I mean, they did do stuff with him. This is interesting here.
What do you got?
I'm getting some news here.
Getting some live news breaks right now?
Yeah. I guess I'll say this now.
Go for it.
There should be a story coming out today about the AEW tapings at Universal.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, today. Because they're going to start filming. I think they're going to start taping next week or this weekend to do it over there. I want to get to that. But I want to bring up a topic that wasn't on the story, on the notes,
sure.
For about 10 minutes. And then we'll go into our Q&A.
Yeah.
And then everything else here. But there's been so much conversations about WWE guys going to AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there is this anti-WWE guys going to AEW movement amongst AEW fans. Like, they don't. They're angry that WWE guys are going. So I've seen this. Oh, so the new guys are not going to get pushed to the side because they got a CM Punk, a Daniel Bryan, an Adam Cole, all these WWE guys, Andrade's there. Rusev. I'm like, I want you to take wrestling out of this, right?
Right.
Let's talk about Intel, right?
Sure.
A lot of our audiences, they're gamers, right? Mm. Let's talk about Intel and let's talk about NVIDIA. Sure. Two chip manufacturers,
sure.
Right? If you are the best talent, one of the best talent at Intel, mm-hmm. right? You're one of the top engineers. You, me, and then there's like a couple other people. Mm-hmm. And we're not happy at Intel. And we go over to NVIDIA, and NVIDIA yeah. starts hiring us. Have you ever heard anybody go online and say, right. you know, I don't like NVIDIA products anymore because they're hiring only people from Intel.
Right, right, right.
And the guys that have been working there this whole time, mm-hmm. now they're getting pushed to the side because they're hiring these guys from Intel. The Chicago Bulls hired all the guys from the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
They're hiring all these Lakers because, you know, what happened to the guys that's the seventh and eighth guy on the bench? Now mm-hmm. they're not going to get an opportunity. I don't get that logic. These guys, first of all, it's a very small industry, and there's only like two or three places these guys could work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are you to tell them that they shouldn't be getting a job at this company and trying to do more in their careers? I find that notion to be so bonkers. Now, if you're saying that they're doing parallel booking to WWE, they're copying WWE, they're running uh-huh. the same angles, the same matches, that's a very different story.
Right.
But the gripe that a guy that worked at WWE or a girl that worked at WWE shouldn't be hired at AEW.
Right, right.
Is nuts.
You know, it's this preposterous, immature tribalism that happens with wrestling fans where it's almost like people want to relive that revisionist history of us versus them between WWE, WWF at the time, and WCW. You know, that shit does not apply now. You know,
I find it so weird though. Like, I remember when Impact was doing it, yes. right? And that was the same conversation. They're hiring all the WWE guys. Mm-hmm. I think that was a little bit more blatant. But if you have an opportunity to hire the best of the best, you wouldn't?
Right. Not only that, but I think going back to the commentary and people like hating on all this stuff, we always have to take a step back and be like, oh, this could be a 10-year-old or a 90-year-old.
I know.
There's like, I think if you're reasonable, you're going to like everything. You're going to want to see these guys succeed. You're going to want to go to the shows and have fun. You know, you don't want people to be creatively stifled who want to go out and, you know, do their craft to yeah. the best of their abilities. You know,
there's like 50 people in this business, guys. If you're right. And tell me if you're AEW, tell me this and you have an, if I was in charge of TNT
mm-hmm.
and I find out that one of my top products on my channel had an opportunity mm-hmm. to sign two of the biggest names in the 2010s, two guys that mm-hmm. have this tremendous following, an up and coming guy that was the number one guy in a territory. You have all these big names available mm-hmm. to further increase eyeballs to your product, so I can sell more ads and I can make more money.
Right.
If I found that out, I would lose my mind.
Exactly.
You have an opportunity to hire a Daniel Bryan and put him in face to face with Kenny Omega.
Right.
You're not going to take that opportunity?
Right. You don't want to print
Get
money?
Get out of here. You don't want to print money? because you don't want to be... I mean, it's not about who's signed. It's about how you use them.
Exactly.
That's what it is. If you're... Sorry, Rich.
Go ahead. No. Like, please keep going because I wanted to like piggyback off what you were going to say.
If you're... Sting's there. You're not seeing yeah. Sting in world title matches.
No.
And even if he does do one, you know that it's to put over somebody young and create eyeballs and bring a focus in here.
Exactly.
But you have to take the bias out and you have to take the tribalism out and you have to look at it as a business and a growth period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, WCW, that was the same thing. They're hiring all the WWE guys, WWF guys. They got Savage, they got Hogan, they got Hall,
right,
they got
right.
Guess what? If those guys never went there would be no Monday Night War. There would be no NWO. There would be no Bullet Club. None of that shit would have happened because
exactly.
if the opportunity wasn't there to incubate this thing that happened over there.
I think another good point is AEW does a very, very good job of creating impact. Look at Malakai Black. I'm going to throw him into that conversation.
Okay, sure.
Right? Here's a guy that toiled on the main roster. They didn't know what to do with him. And then all of a sudden, murders Cody. Becomes one of the biggest heels in the company.
Yeah. There you go.
You know?
He's featured.
There's your perception.
There's a guy that was not on TV for months. Mm-hmm. A fantastic performer. Fantastic wrestler.
Yep.
And not being used. Listen, it just didn't fit what they were trying to do. But you can't be mad at another company looking to give an opportunity to these guys that didn't really get a great one.
Exactly. Exactly. That I think that's my gripe as well as yours.
You know, where, and I'm not talking about CM Punk and Daniel. Yeah, I think those two had everything that they could have possibly ever wanted. You know, they mm-hmm. got, and obviously there's more that they could have done. Daniel Bryan was an injury. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever planned on having him be a long-term world champion like a Roman Reigns. And the same goes for CM Punk. It's not the look that they're going for. But those guys made a lot of money there.
Yeah.
And it's put them in a position today to go to this company and make a difference.
I think Adam Cole got out while the getting was good.
Well, the Twitch thing was a big part for him, right?
Well, I meant wrestling career-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
His run in NXT was nothing short of phenomenal.
No, it was phenomenal, yeah.
Right?
They did great by him.
We got Nicholas Kreese, $2. Cole, Danielson, and Punk were Ring of Honor guys before WWE.
Everybody was something else. Everybody, I mean, all of NXT, that whole NXT 2017, 2016 is all Ring of Honor guys. I mean, look at this list here, right? Shinsuke Nakamura, New Japan guy. Gargano and Ciampa, indie guys, right? Yeah. Samoa Joe, Impact, Ring of Honor, Asuka, Ember Moon. Everybody wrestled everywhere.
Yeah, everybody was everywhere. Do you want to quickly do the PWI and go into questions? We only have 20 minutes
left. All right, let's do that.
Okay. So the PWI 500 came out this week. Number one, no surprise, Kenny Omega. Number two.
I would not have put number one for him.
I would have put 100% number one. He's the belt collector. Look at that.
I would have gone with Roman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roman number two, Bobby Lashley number three, very interesting.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre number four.
Okay.
Great. Kota number five.
He didn't really do much. Remember, a lot of Japanese guys didn't really do much this year.
Mox number six.
Okay.
Cool. Osprey number seven. Great. Balor number eight.
He had a good run.
Shingo, I think Shingo should have been a little higher.
And Rich Swann,
very interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's a kayfabe.
Yeah.
List of performers. I mean, it doesn't really matter. But I mean, if I was doing, I would have done Roman and then Kenny.
How much weight does this hold for you?
Zero.
Right.
Yeah. Zero.
Zero. All right.
It's not a knockout. I mean, it doesn't. Your favorite wrestler, in your opinion, you're the best wrestler could be anybody. It's who you enjoy. Who cares?
Exactly. All right. So we're gonna go right into questions. We're gonna get out of here in about 15 minutes. So
let's do it, babe. Super chat. Super chat questions first. If you still want a super chat, you can submit them. Full Gear. I forgot about Full Gear.
Yes.
Full Gear is getting moved. They announced it. It got moved to November 13th because there's a big UFC fight at the Garden the weekend that they had it. The location is still unknown, but Dave said that it's going to be somewhere in the Midwest. There was a bunch of rumors that it's going to be here in New York because Kenny's doing an autograph signing by LaGuardia.
Yeah.
The big event on that Sunday, right? But I mean, they're doing Detroit, then he could be there in 2 hours, or they can move him, or they could do something. I don't think it's going to be here in New York.
You know, like we were talking about this in our group chat yesterday, like he could be here and then they could fly him anywhere.
Yeah.
They could fly him anywhere in the country in like 2 hours. Private jets, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Before we jump into the questions, if you want to support the show, you can help by becoming a subscriber on Patreon or a YouTube member. Perks include access to MG Geek's notes, which are a lot of fun, behind the scenes travel blogs, extra shows coming soon, and much more. We're going to throw some writing on there. We're going to throw some extra video stuff on there. If your main way of watching the show is YouTube, then you can become a member and enjoy many of the same perks and get custom emojis such as Where's Denise and Intern Deacon during live shows and watch alongs. Pricing starts as little as $2. So come check us out at patreon.com/mattmanpodcast or click the join on YouTube for more information. And we love you guys.
Yeah.
We're really going to add a lot more stuff to the Patreon this year. It's been restructured. We're going to have links to a lot more fun stuff on there, a little more behind the scenes stuff, a little more edits that we're going to put together for you guys. Just be patient. So, Super Chat, Hell Scorpion, 100 rupees. Rupees?
Rupees.
My question is, status on Kevin and Sammy, WWE's contract. Status on Wyatt, Strowman, and Murphy. Are they Impact or AEW?
Strowman is going to be doing something with... Did you see that video? With EC3?
Really?
Yeah, they did. They had some, like, video come out.
Whatever.
He has an appearance coming. I cannot see Strowman not going back to WWE.
You're right. Royal Rumble entrant.
All right. I can't see it. Bray is interesting. He has a 90-day non-compete, mm-hmm. right? So that has to end. I think he's going to do whatever's best for him. You know, you could work him in the Dark Order. You could do something with him there. But he can't be Bray Wyatt.
Right.
He could be something, but he can't be Bray Wyatt.
Gray Wyatt.
A Gray Wyatt. you know, if you have him and you... I don't know much about the Bray situation. Things are very quiet. I know that Braun, to me, seems like it's a negotiation tactic, you know, because he's still on a 90-day. He's still getting paid at home. So maybe this is something like, hey, we need to renegotiate this, and this is the way to do it. Sammy, I think if Kevin leaves, Sammy would be very much inclined to leave.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Kevin is leaving, because, you know, you could be working everybody, but... You know, they've treated him well there.
Yeah. I think Sammy too, but it's one of those things where, like, maybe it's the path of least resistance for WWE. You know, if these guys want to leave, they can leave.
Listen, and if you're the talent, mm-hmm. you're also hearing a lot of the same stuff that we hear. Right. And if you're hearing that, you know, they're going to go with a big jacked up dudes and they're going more of a different focus and non-indie mm-hmm. wrestling, and if you're one of those guys, you may want to think about your other options.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bray and Matt Hardy tag together again.
That was funky and I liked it.
Would you go nuts if within the next year there's a tag team match of Broken Matt Hardy, the former Bray Wyatt, versus the American Dragon and CM Punk?
That would be bonkers. Hey, by the way, Matt Hardy, I would say, is a guy that they didn't do great with. Nobody has done that Broken Matt gimmick proper.
Right, yeah.
Nobody,
yeah.
other than in Impact.
I think it needs to come back.
Yeah, I think so too.
Charles Page, $10. Hello, Mattman. Who do you think will be the first AEW wrestler to leave AEW for WWE? Or, without a dispute with AEW, how long do you think Tony Khan and AEW... How do you think Tony Khan and AEW will handle it?
Are you talking... there's going to be a whole bunch that leave. Absolutely. Right now, everybody's happy. Right. But... You know, you're hearing the locker room is so happy, the morale. Yeah, that is absolutely true. The morale is very high. People are very happy. They are a band that knows they got, you know, a 20-city tour coming that they've sold out. So, of course, you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
But, you know, with more people coming in and more of the focus going into top-tier storylines, there are going to be people that are going to kind of get pushed to the side, and they're going to be unhappy. You know... I'm not going to say Joey Janela, but the Joey Janelas, when they initially signed, there was a lot of focus that people were thinking like, oh yeah, these guys are now going to get prime focus.
Okay.
It may be one of those guys, maybe somebody from Dark, you know, a lot of the guys that are featured there. Mm-hmm. You know, they throw a lot of money to MJF. My God, can you imagine that move?
Yeah.
He would be a huge star there.
Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat. So I don't know who would be the first. It's really early to tell right now.
Yeah, it's very early.
But there is going to be moves. People are going to leave.
Yeah, give it a couple of years. Let it breathe first. John Gorman, $5. Thanks, bud. All Out was so much fun and has gotten me so excited for the state of wrestling. What impact will this show have on the landscape of wrestling?
Too early to tell. You know, either it could be a non-event in 5 years where nobody talks about it because AEW falls apart. Or oh, no. it's a, you know, this was the moment that maybe WWE decided like, oh, maybe we need to shift our focus now. You know, this is going to be a telling, 2022 is going to be very telling on if WWE continues on this path of being this entertainment, you know, company, this mega entertainment company, or they want to focus a little bit more on wrestling, because the one wrestling that they had given us, pure wrestling, which was NXT, is mm-hmm. now becoming a standard WWE product.
Yeah. Let's see what we got here. 1 second. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me? I'm going to say yes. All Out was one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time.
It was one of the best ones that I've ever been to. Yeah. I would say that ECW... WrestleMania 20 was really good, but ECW One Night Stand...
Oh, yeah.
The original one was really like this tremendous moment, but it wasn't a show that led to anything.
Right.
It was just a really good wrestling show.
This was a good landmark show. After we were done, I think both of our wives became fans of the live AEW product.
Yeah.
my wife turned to me and said, yes, I would definitely go to another AEW show with you guys. That was a lot of fun. And we both had the sense of like, it was like going to like a really well put together like rock festival.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
You had your main stage and your side stage. It was awesome. All right. We got 10 minutes left. Joel Wood, $4.99. Have you heard any news on whether Pete Dunne signed an extension with WWE? Do you think he will?
I have not, actually. I haven't followed up on that.
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks have been crazy.
Robert Aquatic, $4.99. A, WTF, leave Team Taz's name out your mouth.
I didn't even mention Team Taz. That was hysterical. So he's like, he's talking about you. He's like, yo, CM Punk, don't ever talk about me or my boys. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I heard you. He's like, I didn't mention it. He's like, yeah, I heard you talking about my boys.
What?
He was like, what, huh? That was fantastic.
Let's see. What do we got here? Tim Anger, $20. Can you see Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish going to AEW?
I mean, Bobby Fish, he's released.
Do you think they would go that route of hiring both these guys and then at some point Roddy and do like Elite versus...
They could do that. Yeah.
What would they call themselves in AEW? They can't call themselves the Undisputed, right? Evolution Revolution.
Evolution Revolution.
That's what I call
Treehouse Vince is back in Chicago right now.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He couldn't leave it alone.
Yeah.
Show off a Polish $25. I think that's Polish. Any confirmation on Meltzer's story about Adam Cole's main roster plans? Love the show. Greetings from Poland.
Greetings from Poland.
What's up? We did mention that.
My wife loves to go to Poland, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
She used to fly to Poland, like, for a weekend, randomly, with Maggie, constantly.
With my...
with your godwife.
My godwife?
Yeah. I would say that there is truth behind the Meltzer report. I didn't hear it. It wasn't said to me in that way. It was said more in a fragmented way. So I can't confirm, like... the actual, you know, storyline. But I was told that they were looking to do some sort of managerial thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did hear that Keith Lee, they wanted to turn him heel.
The truth is often stranger than fiction.
The truth is often.
Joel Wood, $9.99. With the report that WWE was going to let Daniel Bryan work NJPW, do you think this might open the door to WWE maybe softening its stance?
I would say no.
Maybe Brian tries to build a bridge between WWE and AEW.
Nah.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
That's not going to happen. But I do. I know that a lot of people think that that deal could have happened with New Japan.
Mm.
I could tell you that it wouldn't happen because part of the deal was that they wanted exclusivity with Japan talent. And I don't think their trust was there.
Interesting.
By the way, they tried to do this a long time ago, too.
Yeah.
And it didn't... There was rumblings that they tried to work with them on something.
Well, wasn't there a final nail in the coffin not too long ago that said WWE Japan is done?
Yeah, but WWE... You know, WWE, their Japan story was very interesting. Mm-hmm. They wanted to buy Noah, okay?
Right.
And I think we broke... That was one of the first ones that a couple years ago. That was a big story that nobody ever spoke about. WWE wanted to buy Noah... Oh, my kids are home.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, wonderful.
Gonna kick open the door right now.
Yeah. So they're gonna kick it open. So you talk, Rich, and I'll come back here. I gotta watch it.
So yeah, at one point WWE was gonna buy Noah, and then Noah used that as like a counteroffer. They used it for leverage for something else. I don't know, man. Like I think I don't want to say WWE dropped the ball with the Japanese stuff, but I think they did because, you know, they were like, oh, we have Io Shirai, we got Asuka, we got Hideo Itami, we got Shinsuke Nakamura. We're going to definitely do an expansion into Japan. Guess who we got? We got the amazing Cruiserweight Time Splitter. Like,
well, their global Kushida, expansion, you know, is over for NXT.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
They're no longer going forward with that, with a global expansion, because they're not really looking... I mean, obviously, they want international talents, but they're not looking for the international pro wrestler that they could get. NXT UK is NXT UK right now. I mean, I've heard every possible rumor about them that you could imagine. I think outside of that, they're not really going to expand globally. You know, they wanted NXT UK was going to be the European territory. Mm-hmm. They're going to have Japan. They were going to have South America. They wanted NXT India.
Yeah.
They wanted it in the Middle East. They really wanted to expand this, and they have taken that focus and totally gone into a different direction now.
Robert Aquatic had a good name for Undisputed Era in AEW.
What?
Disputed error.
Disputed error.
That's good. We got a couple more questions, and we're going to wrap this up, guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. This is from Nikolai Kreese, $10. Is AEW forming solid partnerships, relationships with companies like GCW, BLP, AIW as a way to help the indies realizing where this is where the future lies? Hashtag ask Madman.
I think it's more that they want wrestling to succeed because they know that if there's more buzz with wrestling as a whole, it's going to be good for them. And we saw this boom in 2016 on for WWE, 2014 on when the indies really grew from 2014 to 2019. It was a benefit to WWE and everybody else because wrestling was hot. There was a discussion. I honestly think that Squared Circle played a huge part with exposing independent wrestling and New Japan to a large portion of wrestling fans that never really abundantly consumed that kind of content. And I think this is just an expansion of, you know, the indie boom because there's no independent wrestling right now. It's really not good. Indie wrestling is in trouble right now, other than GCW and like a handful of guys.
I thought it was interesting that Mox didn't come out with the GCW belt.
But he came out with a GCW jacket.
He did come out with the hoodie. Let's see. We got one more Super Chat question from Chris Farrell. $5. We've seen Britt Baker and Scorpio Sky sign new deals with AEW. Any word on when or if they're working to extend MJF's contract?
I don't know.
Montavious Jontavious Forder.
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, but you would hope so. You would hope that they would keep this guy, right?
Okay, so I got some news here. You ready?
Go for it.
Sorry.
No worries.
I have the WWE schedule moving forward.
Oh.
Would you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please. Make it sexy, though.
I'm going to make it sexy. The draft is going to be Friday night. SmackDown gets the draft first night on October 1st. Monday, October 4th, the draft comes to Raw.
Right.
King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring is starting off, kicking off on SmackDown on their season premiere, which I had mentioned.
Interesting.
That'll continue on, obviously. The culmination is going to Saudi Arabia on 10/21.
Wait, culmination is going to Saudi
Arabia? Culmination.
Culm's going to Saudi
Arabia? Culm is going to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. But it's interesting.
All right, we got 5 more minutes. We got time for a couple more questions here. All Elite Podcast. I really wonder if they're going to relocate All Out. Seems to be a real inconvenience for fans after the show from everyone tweeting.
Yeah. I don't remember hearing about the disaster that was the previous All Out.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really bad with the Ubers and everything. And I'm wondering if the pandemic played a part in it or just... too many people wanted to Uber and take a ride share. There was no ride shares. Listen, this show should be in Chicago proper. You know, now that they have a relationship with that building with the United Center, they could bring this to the United Center.
Or would that cause more of a kerfuffle? I think the people who we effed up, we got rescued. I did feel bad for all the press that remained in the building until like 2 a.m. because they got real effed.
Yeah. Well, we had Brian and Jeff pick us up.
Yeah.
Which was the first rescue, and then Tony came and got you guys, so it was fantastic.
I woke up to a text from Brian, not Brian Alvarez.
Yeah.
The other Brian, in the morning going like, hey, are you guys still stuck out there? We'll come get you. But I was asleep. He sent that at like 2 a.m. We were very lucky that we got back. I mean, we could have walked.
It would have been 2 hours.
MG Geek walked like 3 blocks and he's been complaining about it like for the last 4 days.
Shin splints. He's talking about his shin splints to me.
Mark H., where do you think Full Gear will take place?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Midwestern City. Where was it scheduled for?
Oh, I don't know.
Kansas City? I'm going to go... either Nashville or Detroit.
Ooh. Detroit would be awesome.
Joe Louis Arena. Why not?
Detroit would be awesome. This is from
Syed. I don't know. I honestly have no idea yet where they're doing it.
Fair enough. This is from Syed Talib. Can you tell us something about Daniel? Can you tell us something about Brian's new contract? Is it long term?
Yeah. It's long term.
All right. Cool.
He's not here for like 6 months. You know? He's here for a while, little while.
Do you want to take 2 more questions?
Yeah, let's do that.
Fifth Generation Carney question. How does Andrew get his bouffant so high? Is that natural?
It is natural. No, it's a piece. It's a whip.
Oh, shit.
It snaps on. My bouffant.
Your bouffant.
That's a wonderful... I mean, is it high?
It's pretty high. It's not like... Is it too high? It's not like comical.
Okay.
You got good hair.
It is high today.
You have good hair. I'll lead podcast. Do you think Omega and Danielson at Arthur Ashe? It's going to be the last question.
No. I mean, if they do, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be... You know what? Maybe they do Danielson and Kenny. We're like a
tag match.
I mean, definitely we're getting an Adam Cole match. Next week, we're getting Adam Cole, Frankie Kazarian in his in-ring debut. Awesome. So we're getting an Adam Cole match. We're definitely getting a CM Punk match on that show. Mm-hmm. What I would expect. I don't know this to be 100%. Let me just say that before it's reported. I would anticipate these guys would wrestle. Mm-hmm. And if you are going to have CM Punk debut in his first Dynamite match, why not have it be a tag team match? Sting, Darby, and him versus Hobbs, Hook, and Ricky Starks. Why not?
That'd be awesome.
Why not?
How close are AEW to just printing money at this point?
They're doing very good. I'm not... They still have... I mean, obviously, they still have a lot of things to do, mm-hmm. but it's... When you... I'm not... This is not an attack on AEW, and it's not an excuse, but when you have the talent that you do have...
Yeah.
And you haven't done anything yet. I mean, they've been in business for 24 months, right? They haven't done much they've done a lot, but they haven't done like every possible scenario of matches. 5 years from now, when they're running out of these combination matches to have, that's when the challenge is going to start. Right. These plates are spinning. Okay.
The plates are spinning very fast.
The plates
fast.
Are spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really easy to come in.
Yeah.
When those plates are spinning.
Absolutely.
And just go like this. And then just keep it spinning.
Yeah.
However, when one plate falls and two plate falls, and now you got to get that thing going again.
Yeah.
That's when the trouble is.
This is insane. I think Tony Khan definitely has notebooks and notebooks of where he wants this to go for the next, like,
dude, he five has to archived. 10 years. He's archived the WrestleZone forums from 2000. And he just goes and reads about all those fantasy matches that he wishes he saw.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
I think for AEW, they're on a positive path. Mm. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Did we read Chris's question? We've seen Britt Baker and Scorpio sign anyway. Okay,
we addressed it. I got to drop you off.
Yes,
in 5 minutes.
All right, that's it, guys. We'll see y'all next time. I got to get out of here.
Later.
I'm gonna miss my train. I'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Take care.